Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Why are Latinos converting, in your opinion?
The statistics suggest that the Latino segment of the overall Muslim population is the fastest growing.
They're leaving cultural Catholicism. They don't really understand what they're leaving.
Thank you, my dear.
How large is this movement?
It's got to be at least 250,000.
Wow.
But it's growing.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best.
With all the racism and the xenophobia happening, where are the Catholic Christian leaders in this country really taking a strong stand on it? A lot of Latinos are saying.
Saludos, nuestra gente. It's Ariana Genis y
María Isa.
Welcome to Latina Theory, a Spanglish podcast sin vergüenza. We just heard an excerpt from a documentary produced by the Vice Minority Report series called Why Are So Many Latinos Converting to Islam? Today, we're spending our time exploring answers to this very question, a question that reveals a reality about nuestra gente that was entirely unknown by us until we watched the short documentary last month. We encourage y'all to listen to our conversation and then go watch the documentary yourselves. It's free in only 19 minutes. You can find the link to it on our episode description on Audioboom.
Joining us to take questions head on are two very special guests. Our first guest is Lara Hernandez, who produced this very episode of Vice's Minority Reports, which granted exposure to the large and growing community of Latino Muslims in the U.S. Lara is an Emmy Award-winning producer with field experience in the U.S., Europe, and Latin America. Born and raised in España, she is currently a long-form producer with Vice Digital, where her work focuses on social justice issues. She's also, what, Ariana?
A chingona.
Gracias por acompañarnos, Lara. Lara, how are you doing?
Muchas gracias por tenerme. Thanks for having me.
Definitely. Gracias por estar en Latina Theory. Like we said, we're excited to speak with you, and we've definitely have had a chance to catch the episode, and bravo, amazing work. Thank you for highlighting that.
Yeah, thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, you know what, Lara, why don't we start off with telling our listeners a little bit about yourself. How did you get into filmmaking?
Okay, so my dad's a journalist. I grew up in Spain, and I always knew I wanted to be a journalist. What I didn't know is that I was going to want to do long-form documentaries. So I think the interesting thing about long-form documentaries is that you get to know the characters so much more than news packages. You know, news package, it needs to be quick. It needs to be, you need to film it that day, edit it, get it to air. And with long-form documentaries, you get to, you know, take a deep look into the story and get to know the characters or story kind of, you know, get in their shoes and know firsthand what they experience. So I moved to Miami. I started working for Univision and Fusion, and I did a lot of environmental documentaries. And recently I started working at Vice, and they have a series called Minority Reports, which is where this documentary aired, that takes a look at minorities that people don't really necessarily talk about or know about. And I said that I had heard about a really interesting topic, that was that the inside the Islam community, the biggest number of converts came from the Latino community.
Yeah.
So I thought that was incredibly interesting, because Latinos are predominantly Catholic. So what is driving a predominantly Catholic community into Islam? So they loved it. They wanted to look into it. So
we were definitely taken aback by the huge numbers of Latinos in the U.S. So it's up to 250,000 Latinos reality of the Islamic community here in the United States. So with the fastest growing population, we definitely, Ariana had no idea.
No. So that's why we're so happy to
hear. Yeah, a lot of people honestly had no idea. Whenever someone's like, oh, what are you working on? Oh, I'm producing this documentary on Latino Muslims, and people were like, what, that's a thing? And it's actually really interesting, because during the research, when I didn't even know where to go film, because there's a big community in New York, there's a big community LA, there's a big community in Miami, in Houston. So I was like, where do I even start? And I was reading these things that, like, there's taco trucks outside the mosques, but it's halal tacos.
Wow, that's great.
It's a really interesting way of how they're mixing the Latino and the Muslim culture.
Yeah, that's definitely a vibe that we got in watching the documentary, was that a lot of the people, at least that you interviewed, were very clear about both their faith and their culture, mm-hmm. and like upholding both of them. And so aside from wanting to, you know, grant exposure to the reality of Latino Muslims, why else did you choose to highlight this for this documentary with Vice?
I think because when I started talking to a lot of them on the phone and I asked them, you know, why are you converting? I thought it was really interesting that some of them mentioned, like, oh, well, you know, I went into a mosque because I know they're facing similar immigration issues. So I went into a mosque to ask them, you know, for my rights, if I could get deported for this or that. And then I started talking to some Latino Muslims, and then I decided to convert into Islam. So I just thought the reasons behind the conversions were so interesting. And some people don't know that something like today's political climate, where both groups are discriminated, it's actually bringing them together. So I thought that was something that had to be told.
Thank you.
What have been your reactions? What reactions have the episode had thus far?
Well, it started, you know, Vice has a huge audience and in the U.S. and worldwide. So it started with some backlash. It started with some people, you know, the haters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know.
It was like, oh, this is going to make the wall 10 feet higher and stuff like that. But then I guess it reached its right audience and it started being watched by Muslims all over the world. And we started getting these beautiful, inspiring comments in the video, like, you know, this is so inspiring. Thank you for doing this about our Muslim community. And some Latinos were commenting, talking about Allah. So I'm guessing we made the audience we wanted to make happy. We wanted to tell their story and, you know.
That's wonderful.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenza.
We don't believe you, cause we the people are still here in the rear, yo, we don't need you. You ain't a killin' off good young nigga move. When we get hungry, we eat the same fucking food, the ramen noodle. Your simple voodoo is so maniacal, reliable to pull a juju. The irony is that this bad bitch in my lap, she don't tell me she make money, she don't study that. She gon' give it to me, ain't gon' tell me nothing back. She gon' take the brain to where the place she sit on at. Vidors and signs with it, don't try to rhyme with it. VH1 has a show that you can waste your time with. Guilty pleasure, take the edge off reality. And for a salary, I'll probably do that just sporadically. The OG Gucci boots are smitten with iguanas. The IRS piranhas see a nigga getting common. Niggas in the hood living in a fishbowl. Gentrify here, now it's not a shithole. Trend set up, I know, my shit's cold. Hand set up because I ain't so bold. But damn, all you black folks, you must go. Boy, we hate your ways. So all you bad folks, you must go. The fog and the smog of the media, the logs, false narratives of guys that came up against the odds. We're not just nigga rappers with the bars. It's kismet that we're cosmic with the stars. You bastards overlooking street art, better yet street smart, but you keep us off the charts. Some of the fuck your numbers and your statisticians. Fuck y'all know about true competition. Just like the AO picture on there talking about a hitting. Yeah. The only one who's hitting are the ones that's currently spitting. We got your Missy smitten, rubbing on a little kitten. Dreaming of a world that's equal for women with no division. Boy, I tell you, that's vision. Like Tony Romo when he hitting with it. The tribe be the best in a division. Shaheed Muhammad cut it with precision. Who can come back years later, still hit the shot? Still I'm trying to move you off the fucking block. Babylon blood clot. Coop on your head, top.
All you black folks, you must go.
as you know, the Latinx community is huge, right? It includes, you know, nuestra gente is like Mexico, Central America, Puerto Rico, like all of it. It's massive. There's so many class differences. There's also like first generation, second generation, recent immigrant, right? There's a lot of diversity. So we were just wondering why there was a choice to not really include any further breakdown about any of that in the documentary.
Actually, because we have, and I was about to mention this to you later, we have a series that's called Latinx. It's actually, we had a first episode back in September, and then second season is actually airing next week. So we have a whole series that's called Latinx, where we explore just the Latinx community in general, you know, the obstacles and things, the positive and the negative. You know, we explore some like powerful identity stuff, but we also, you know, explore the obstacles they face. Yeah. So that's definitely a series that I recommend that you guys watch. This was more for Minority Reports, which is exploring a minority. And I thought it was interesting because they're becoming a double minority. Like they're already discriminated in today's climate for being Muslims and for being that immigrants, and, you know, they're becoming this double minority. That even when I asked most of them, like, do you guys realize you're becoming a double minority in today's government? Mm-hmm. They said, yeah, you know, that's the thing that worries us the least. We feel like we're part of a bigger community now. Hmm.
So. And is there a reason why no Latina Muslims are particularly highlighted given the extensive interview of the documentary? I mean, we did hear from a circle of Latinas that were in Houston, I believe. However, there wasn't one particular of the leadership amongst the Latinas and Muslim. Is there any reason for that being?
No, I mean, really, I think we focused on Jaime because he was a former gang member that is now an Islam leader. And then we focused on Raul because he kind of portrayed that double minority really well because he's a DACA recipient and he's a recent convert. But I don't think we didn't focus on Fimo in particular for any reason, just because I think we found those two characters were really strong. But that's why I specifically wanted to do the round table, because I wanted to know how, as a Latina, that I feel like, you know, we have a pretty open mentality, why would you want to go back into wearing a hijab or having, you know, certain rules that for some maybe like taking it back, you know? And when I asked them, they were pretty clear about like, no, you know, I'm not going to let my husband have many wives. I'm still the one that like runs the house. I'm going to be submissive. I'm not going to, you know, I wear the hijab because I think it's a sign of modesty and Virgin Mary would wear it and I don't mind it. But no, I mean, we spoke to them. I just think we focused on Jaime and Raul because they had interesting background, like conversion stories.
Right, as a protagonist of the doc. Mm-hmm. Got it.
So here's something you've already started to touch on, which is this dynamic of folks kind of, you know, the curiosity you had around like wanting to be a double minority, right, being Latinx and Muslim. We already know what the current situation is with the president of the U.S. and the language around both of these communities and what is used, you know. Is there anything else in particular that you would want to make sure to highlight, aside from what was provided in the documentary about people making a choice as to why this is happening? Why are Latinos choosing to become Muslim? Anything else that you found out in your interviews that wasn't presented in the documentary?
Yeah, there's something that actually didn't make it into the documentary just because we had to cut somewhere. But I thought it was a really interesting aspect is we spoke to an expert and the one that's in the documentary, and he said he found that one of the most interesting factors for them converting is that in a time of in this political climate where they feel like they're being purged, like they're, you know, they don't have an identity that they can be proud of because they're being discriminated, they kind of want to reclaim their roots. And they see that, you know, the Muslims ruled in Spain for so long back in the day, and they created like a whole civilization. So they see an identity when they convert to Islam because it reminds them of, you know, they feel like they're reclaiming their roots in the Islamic tradition of when they were ruling in Spain. Mm. So that was an interesting subject that I didn't, you know, they talk really proud, like, oh yeah, like we, a lot of the Spanish words come from Islam, mm-hmm. and the Muslims had created a crazy civilization in Spain and buildings, and so they kind of reclaimed their roots going back to the Islamic tradition.
Even amongst, you know, Spaniards is a lot of the Arabic influence, yeah, of like even race, a bloodline from, you know, Arabic bloodline, which mm-hmm. which are features in Latino America cover a lot. I know being Boricua in Puerto Rico, it's highly, you know, highlighted in our cultural history. And it obviously doesn't incorporate the religion side on it, but they definitely highlight the fact that the, you know, there is a strong influence of Arabic culture.
Yeah, I mean, even San Juan, like the, you know, like the Jota culture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, cierto.
Sí. Ariana, you want to cover that next question?
Yep, I got it. So, continuing this conversation about perceptions of the Latinx community or Muslim community, Latinx Muslim community, something that we talk about a lot in Latina Theory is the reality that there's largely in the mainstream in the U.S. a very one-dimensional narrative about who Latinx folks are, right? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that is like fueled by a lot of negative stereotypes. And so, you know, given this reality, what impact do you think that this episode of Vice will have to that conversation?
I think we did a really good job in terms of debunking a lot of the myths. And, you know, Jaime, our main character, says, because I'm a Colombian becomes a drug dealer, that doesn't make me a drug dealer because I'm Colombian. Because a Muslim goes and commits an act of terrorism, which is not something that's linked to my religion, that doesn't make me a terrorist. So I think, you know, that generalization that the current government has made, like Mexicans are rapists, Mexicans are drug dealers, Muslims are terrorists. I think this documentary for both communities, not for just for the Latinx communities, I really wanted to help debunk that. Like, these people have a beautiful family and a beautiful community there, and everyone was so respectful with each other, and they had nothing to do with terrorism. They had nothing to do with drugs or, you know, so I think it was a good way to show that immigrants or the Latinx community or Muslims are neither of those, you know, adjectives that they're being called lately.
Mm-hmm. I watched the documentary with my husband, and it brought a lot of, you know, emotions, just because specifically our large Muslim community here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and, you know, we are the state that has the first Muslim congresswoman and congressman, who, you know, previous congressmen, that have sworn in over the Quran in a place of where we're still fighting for that acceptance as all, you know, all of us, right? And it just, it reflects you, because my students, I have, you know, friends and students, my husband practice, you know, as well. And you feel that emotion and that tense that not only are you dealing with Islamophobia, but you're also dealing with the fact that there's a reality that you can be deported. And the separation of what guides you through these issues is your faith. But at the same time, you're being slandered for that. And so I just want to specifically just say thank you for highlighting that, because it really set a tone in awakening and educating many, many people who are Latino that, you know, don't want to embrace this as a part of our culture.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Thank you. I appreciate it. And actually, one of the things that also didn't make it into the documentary, but I thought that it was really interesting, is one of the biggest conversion rates happens in prisons. Mm-hmm. So a lot of former gang members or whatever, mm-hmm. Latino or not Latino, but there's a lot of Latinos that message Juan, not Juan, Jaime, and they say, oh, can you send some material in Spanish to the prison? Can you send the Quran in Spanish? And the reason they convert is because they feel like they're hitting a reset button in terms of, like, they feel like it's a cleaner religion. Like, oh, I won't drink alcohol. I won't. So a lot of them are converting in prison because they want a more peaceful lifestyle. So that's what I think, it's like debunking that myth that if you go into Islam, you're going to be a crazy extremist. It shows that, like, some former gang members like Jaime and some of the people that are converting in prison are actually seeking this religion to live a better life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, definitely. I mean, look at Malcolm X, you know, he found Islam while he was incarcerated.
All right, so we're getting towards the end of our time with you, Lara. Is there anything else in particular that you want to make sure to add as a takeaway about this documentary? Points. Anything else in particular you want to make sure?
I mean, I think just the familiar bond in this community stood up to me, especially because when a lot of the converts... So a lot of them, you know, some did it to reclaim their roots, some did it because they were looking for a different community, some did it because of some of the problems with the Catholic Church, the scandals, you know. Yeah. But there's always, the first shock is always the family, right? Because in Latino culture, we tend to be like, okay, I'm going to follow this religion because my parents would, or, you know, so the family would always be the first shock. So like Raul's mom, like she kicked him out of the house when he became a Muslim. Now she's a Muslim. So to me, it was really interesting how the family was the first shock, but then they end up realizing they have such a familiar bond in this community. And I don't know, I thought it was beautiful in the sense that it's important to show in today's political climate when there's so much hate that, you know, both of these communities are harmless and in fact, they're a beautiful community, you know.
That's so true.
So here at Latina Theory, we ask all of our guests on the podcast, because not only do we cover politics and we cover news and culture and history, but we also cover entertainment and music. So a big part of our listeners tune in not only to get these amazing stories, but also, you know, to get sabor adentro de nuestra música. So I want to ask you, Lara, personally, what is your favorite song or that's currently on your playlist or something that's on your playlist that maybe, you know, right now or something that got you through this editing process?
You know, I'm all about, even though I'm from Spain, I'm all about Latin music. I love reggaeton. I love just Latin music in general. But I do have to say that lately I've been a little bit obsessed with Rosalía.
Yeah. Do you have a specific song of Rosalía that you'd like to highlight? Or
I mean, Malamente is the typical one that everyone knows, but I really like Dini Nombre.
Well, we'll make sure that we add a little Rosalía to the twist of this episode. Lara, muchas gracias. Thank you for being
gracias
a part of...
Gracias.
And we look forward to more of your work.
For sure. I'll send it all your way.
Thank you.
Okay.
Gracias.
Gracias, adiós.
Un beso. Chao.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Sobre tus cuerpos.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Saludos, nuestra gente. My name is Maria Isa, and my co-host Ariana Hennis is on the other end.
In Chicago. So excited.
Indeed, indeed. And we have a very, very amazing guest on our podcast this episode that we are so happy you could be a part of this. Her name is Diana Cruz. She is a native Chicagoan, Mexicana, Boricua. With a background in nonprofits, and is also her major highlight for this episode is in regards to not only is she how Ariana likes to say a chingona Latina, but she's also an amazing leader within so much in her communities in Chicago and branching nationally as the administrative coordinator for Islam and Spanish Chicago chapter. Diana Cruz, thank you so much for being a part of our segment here covering Latinas in Islam. We are so happy to have you here. Thank you for being a part of our show.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. Muchas gracias. Estoy bien orgullosa de estar aquí con ustedes dos.
Oh, and we're so happy you can join us. So, Diana, for our listeners and for us, could you share how you identify yourself?
I identify myself, one, as a Muslim woman, because I wear my veil and that's the first thing you see, you know, that I'm Muslim. But I'm very proud to say, as a Latina. Definitely. Like I kind of say I'm a Latina Muslim. I love being Mexican, Puerto Rican. I love my culture. I like my gente, mi raza. And, you know, so it's identified. I like my arroz con gandules with enchiladas on the side. Confusion in my home. So, yes, I identify with both.
Jump into our next question. Were you born and raised Muslim?
No, I converted to Islam back in 99.
Okay, and how were you introduced to the practice, to the religion?
When I was in college back in 92, one of my friends, she was Mexican, and we were in class, and I remember exactly, it was a sociology class, what a class to talk about religion, and she mentioned that she was converting to Islam. And I was a little surprised. I mean, what do you mean you're Mexican? How is it that you can convert to Islam? And pretty much she was getting married with someone and who was Muslim already. And she felt that in order to make the marriage work, you know, she wanted to convert to Islam. And that's my first introduction to Islam. But it was very just not much of it. I didn't ask questions. But that's when I found out about Islam a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that was like the first time.
And then after that, like, what kind of kept you on that journey?
Okay, so, of course, years passed. After that, I got married very young, had two children who are now millennials. And, you know, that marriage didn't work out. We were just young and stupid. Mm-hmm. You know,
what happens?
We were just young and stupid. Mm-hmm. Sometimes queremos que we could do this. Sometimes we don't.
Right.
So, so true. So, you know, I think when it really hit me hard was when my mom, my mother got diagnosed with breast cancer. And I started having all these questions about death and illnesses. And I started searching. I went to a Lutheran church. I went to a Christianity church, a evangelical church. I also was close to going to a Buddhist temple at one point. And as I was searching and looking, I always had that question, what does death and illness is in your religion? The answer was not being fulfilled for me. Then a friend of mine introduced me to a Latino Muslim, which was very odd. I was like, wait a minute, how can this person be like a Muslim if he's Latino? Mm-hmm. So that right there was, to me, it was a connection. Mm-hmm. Because first he was Latino, and we had a connection, and it was easy for me to ask those questions. And of course I was interested more, and I started asking questions about Islam through this person. Mm-hmm. And I asked, what does Islam say about illnesses and death? And it was just very simple answer that there's two things that God only knows is the day you die and the day of judgment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have no control of death. Mm-hmm. That is something that God decides, you know, and to God we belong and to him we return. Mm-hmm. And
all those little simple phrases and learning a little bit more, I realized that, you know what? I go, it makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. I go, no matter what I do, you have the best doctors, the best treatments, you can spend so much money. In the end of the day, if God decides to take you, he's going to take you. Mm-hmm. And to add a little bit more to it, also, it was how it was explained to me is that sometimes when we get sick, we have an illness, it's like a way of cleansing your soul from sin. Mm. And this is just a journey that unfortunately my mom has to go through.
Yeah.
You know, and to me that made sense. I decided that this was the religion for me and I converted.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Yes.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
What the hair look like? Bet the hair look nice. Don't that make you sweat? Don't that feel too tight? Yo, what your hair look like? Bet your hair look nice. How long your hair is? You need to get your life. You only see Oriental. You steady working that dental. You popping up at the lip and run your mouth like a treadmill. Not your exotic vacation. I'm bored with your fascination. I need that paper, paper, paper if you want education.
All around the world, love women every shade of ladies, we was born in the 80s, so pretty like the Euphrates, and party like some Kuwaitis, deeper than some diplomas, current like some hot yoga, taking back the misnomers, and teleporting through trauma, teleporting through trauma, teleporting through trauma, I've been stacking my karma, Nefertiti, no drama, make a feminist planet, woman haters get banished, covered up or not, don't ever take us for granted,
all around the world, love women every shade of if you hate it. I still rap my hijab, rap my hijab, rap my hijab, rap, rap my hijab. Keep swagging my hijab, swagging my hijab, swagging my hijab, swagging, swagging my hijab. I still rap my hijab, rap my hijab, rap my hijab, rap, rap my hijab. Keep swagging my hijab, swagging my hijab, swagging my hijab, swagging, swagging.
You're just jealous of my sisters, these mipsters, these hippies, these prissies, these Sufis, these dreadies, these Sunnis, these Shiris, Yemenis, Somalis, Lebanese, Pakistanis, these Sudis, Sudanis, Iraqis, Punjabis, Afghanis, Yazidis, Khadijis, Indonesians, Egyptians, Canadians, Algerians, Nigerians, Americans, Libyans, Tunisians, Palestinians, hidden beyond the Mekong and Laos, Senegalese and Burkina Faso.
Introduced you about the fact that you're a chapter leader for Islam in Spanish.
Yes.
Do you want to share a little bit about how you got connected to them?
So how I connected with them, well, it's so funny, is that we've been doing work in Chicago for Latino Muslims for many years, since back in 2000, 2001, with different groups. And there was a Latino group that we started in Chicago, and one of the sisters, that's how we connected with her. And she like, you know what, there is a group in Houston that has Spanish material, they're doing things in Houston, and that's how we end up connecting with Brother Mujahid Fletcher in Houston. And because we here in Chicago, we had a group of sisters who were doing work already and giving dawah and outreach work in Spanish. So that's how we connected with that group over there in Houston.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing. Maria, do you want to jump in with the next question or a follow-up?
Yeah. You know, we are covering the Vice Minority Report series of the episode, Why Are So Many Latinos Converting to Islam? We see so much of a growth in all of our leadership and in so many different sectors, showing the Latino population's numbers rising as the largest minority group now, right? So I see that braiding in, but it comes to be a little bit different when we talk about, obviously, religion. You know, what are the traditions and our culture and what are we known for? And, you know, Islam is something that is the largest, you know, Latinos are the largest group that are converting to Islam, just like in everything else. And I guess my question for you is, why, in your opinion, do you feel so many Latinos are converting to Islam?
Well, each one of us have a different experience when it comes to converting to Islam. We all have to, each one of us have a different experience. Some people convert through marriage. That's their experience. They marry someone and they end up seeing their husband practice and they, you know, the families, and they realize like this is the religion for them and they'll convert. You know, they'll take the time to learn the religion through their husbands. Others, they read the Quran, and the Quran really says that the Quran will guide you or misguide you. And some people just reading the Quran, you know, have a connection, and they just feel like this is the religion for me, and they'll convert through that. Also, by their surroundings, people they talk to, friends, the introduction. Everyone has a different experience. In the end, but we all have something in common, and it's that we all know that we come through to Islam because God invites us to this religion and God guides us at the same time. So we all have that connection that we already know that God guides us to this religion. But each one of us, like I said, have a different experience. You know, my experience, like I said previously, was the understanding of illness and death. The others, you know, being around someone and seeing how they are, being part of the community, you know, and hearing something that makes sense to them, you know, the connection. Another, I hear a lot about Latinos converting because of the connection that Islam has with Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, and the Virgin Mary, Prophet Abraham, Noah. I mean, they don't lose that love for them, you know, so that's also another way of connecting, and that's been some of the stories that I've heard.
So our next question for you is, what are some social challenges you face with your identity as a Latina and as a Muslim as well?
Wow. So I think one of the social challenges that I have had as a Muslim woman and being Latina at the same time is being a single mom in the community. I was married before as a non-Muslim and had my kids, you know, there was no shame of being a single mom with kids, you know, it was just part of life. Little did I know that in the Muslim community, a single mother and divorce and with children was something that was a challenge for me. In a way that, first of all, I was a Latina. I was no longer married as well. I had children that I was raising. So my challenges really became with those around me. Like, I stopped being invited to weddings in the Muslim community. I stopped being invited to sisters' homes or to break fast. That actually really was a challenge for me. It was very hard because I didn't understand why this was happening. Little did I know that is a lot of the stuff has to do with culture and not the religion. And trying to understand that as well. As a Latina, you know, you have your Muslim aspect, but as a Latina woman, we have our culture. We have the way we dress, we have our language, and we have our foods, our likes, you know, we have our families who are not Muslim. You know, I for sure don't have my family that's not Muslim. And sometimes those are some of the challenges that we had, that I actually had. I have to be blessed that my family has always been great. But the challenges do come when you have your event, Islamic holidays. You know, that's very hard socially. And trying to raise your kids to like without having a Muslim family, you know, like having this little, like, it's only me and my children having these events and these parties on our own, you know. But it was, you know, those are the challenges we have. But like, but as always, being a Latina, being raised, I kind of had that thick skin that I could deal with it.
Yeah.
And the community fight those challenges. I mean, how are you going to combat a challenge if you're not involved, if you're not finding those challenges and, and saying something about it?
Right.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
About what other benefits has this brought into your life? So I think what has brought benefits is that faith of God, that there is one God.
Yeah.
You know, and no matter what trials or tribulations that I'm going through, any hard times that I'm going through, especially my mother dying of cancer, getting divorced, being a single mom again in the community, and then having these challenges in the Muslim community, being a single woman and children, and being Latina, it actually elevated my to be more outspoken in the community. It actually built my self-esteem, my confidence, and it also pushed me to learn a lot about the woman in Islam back in the days. You know, like, and I learned that back in when Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, women were very outspoken. You know, and I was like, wait a minute. I go, I could be outspoken. I could say something too if something's bothering me. But also, I think one of the things that I could say that part of the journey, the moment that I said, like, I really need to learn this religion and start understanding what I'm practicing, I felt very concrete in my practice. I feel like things are going to happen in this life. And I have to be okay with it. It's just going to, I have to make a choice and always try to make the good choice. You know, don't choose the wrong choice. Always try to make the good choice. Always try to be the better person.
Yeah.
I was in situations where I felt that the choices that I was going to make might not benefit me emotionally, but at the same time, I felt was that, you know what, I'm not doing it. I really don't feel like this is something I want to do, but I'm going to do it for the sake of Allah, for the sake of God. Mm-hmm. And that in itself really helped me a lot throughout my journey, through my life, as to this day. Mm-hmm. Any decision I make, and I know it's not going to benefit me, or I'm fighting with my feelings with it, and I just don't feel good about it, but I know for the sake of God, it's going to be better. Yeah. So, because we all have those emotions, we have nuestros sentimientos, mm-hmm. se nos sale el latino, mm-hmm. nos sale la de corojudo, you know, mm-hmm. we want to do all that. But it kind of helped me to like lay back and see the bigger picture.
Yeah.
In a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I really feel it also made me humble.
Yeah.
Sometimes we, you know, being raised as a Mexican Puerto Rican, being Chicagoan, being a Latina, sometimes have this little arrogance in you, but I learned that this really made me humble and see, do more for people.
What advice can you give to other Latina Muslims and Latinas in general who want to learn more about Islam?
Okay, so one, I do definitely Islam in Spanish. Definitely doing a lot of work to give the message to our Latino community. And it's actually run by Latino Muslims, which is amazing. So definitely get into their website, try to contact them. They have chapters in Atlanta, in New York, if I'm not mistaken, in Dallas. And they have people who are able to communicate in Spanish and English.
Can you share with us how our listeners can connect on the internet? Is there a website or maybe
www.islaminspanish.org. Look it up. We have a Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find us immediately. Connect with them, and they will always reach out to anyone who's near in the area. They have all the Spanish material, which helps a lot. It's all audio too. So
they're the only ones who are producing content in Spanish.
In Spanish, right? Yes. Wow. And in audio, they'll send CDs, which is great because you can listen to it on your computer. You can listen to it while you're driving, so you're learning at the same time. But I think what I advise is always ask if there's a support group of converts. That's always a start. Like, is there a support group for converts? Because I will guarantee you that we're converts, so we understand where they're coming. We understand what somebody's trying to look into Islam. And there's no, how can I say, no cultural differences. Because a lot of people practice culture,
mm-hmm.
Islam itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as Latino converts, we tend to keep our Latino identity and our culture, but we know how to differentiate our religion, Islam.
Right.
And that's one of the beauties of being a convert. We understand where they're coming from. Latinas should always, if you have any questions, they should always ask for if you have a dawah or outreach group in your community, definitely a support group in their community, because if you have a support group, there's going to be converts. So they'll understand where you're coming from.
Yes.
Thank you for all of that information. It's so important, you know, here in the Twin Cities, we have such a strong platform right now of women who are not just within the Latina community, but just so many different communities, diverse communities that are wanting to learn more about Islam. So we appreciate you giving us that information. And, you know, in a world right now where it's specifically even today, we didn't even have this question on our notes, but our good friend and a person who is a leader nationally now, who was on Latina Theory just in August before the last election, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, has been, you know, has been attacked, you know, today on social media because of her, you know, defense on what's happening in these countries that the majority are practicing Islam, and was, you know, criticized for being anti-Semitic when in reality she was not, but, you know, has to go down to saying that, you know, I have to make an apology because one group has been offended, but meanwhile they're offending my group all the time. You know, when can we just figure out how not to offend each other, you know, in general?
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess is, you know, between now that there is a face in politics, you know, there's a face in arts and culture, not just by Muslim men, but by mujeres, you know, how do you see that strength in light in a community of women, you know, internationally?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if you're familiar with Muslim Women Alliance here in Chicago. They actually...
You say Muslim Women Alliance?
Yes, okay. Muslim Women Alliance. They're an amazing group, and it's Muslim women, pretty much all of them, and they're all leaders, and they're the ones who are actually trying to... They're going to the masjids. They're trying to be women leaders in the Muslim community, and they're trying to end this misogyny in the Muslim community.
Yeah.
And not only that, they've been, like, ever since the Women's March, they took a bus in 2017 when it started. They took a bus in 2018. And I went with them this year in 2019. It's a beautiful experience to see that it's sad to see, first of all, that we're still fighting for rights. It's just like, it just amazing. Like, wait, we're still fighting for our rights. I can't believe this. And, but to see us as a group, when all ages, we were in that place, we were all diverse and all different ages. Mm-hmm. And it was just, we had LGBTQ women in there. We had women in their 70s, 78 in their 70s. We had all different, we had Jewish women in our community. We had us Muslim women. And then we had us Latina women, Muslim women. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like it was just a beautiful experience. So there is a movement of Muslim women in itself in America, and trying to push a narrative of changing things that we are very important in the Muslim community and also in the mosque, and we need to start being part of the mosque and hold positions in the mosque because we are, you know, Muslim women are the largest group.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not gonna, we're still growing, and we're the future. You know, we're the ones who are the mothers, the aunts, you know, mm-hmm. we're the ones who are raising kids, we're the teachers. One of the things about Islam in Spanish that is the reason I volunteer for them is one of the reasons, but it's because they've been trying to build leaders in the Latino Muslim community.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They're trying to build leaders in the mm-hmm. Latino Muslim community because it's important. Mm-hmm. We are growing in numbers, you know, in nationwide, and they notice that they have to invest in their Latino Muslim community to build leaders, and not only that, they don't shy away from having women lead organization. Sister Vilma Santos is the leader in New Jersey, New York, for Islam in Spanish. Sister Sharifa Carreon in Atlanta. Of course, Brother Jaleel's in Dallas. So they do invest in us. It's but as a Latina woman, first of all, being raised as a Latina Muslim and fighting my own battles since I was a young girl, mm-hmm. you know, here in America, in corporate America as well, you know, as a Latina, as a woman, and then coming to Islam, I bring some type of experience.
Yeah.
Of leadership, of fighting those battles. And the thing is that in order for me to fight the battles, I needed to learn my religion. So a little bit better. And I learned so much. So yeah, there is, like I said recently, there is a push and there's a narrative to change the leadership of Muslim women in America.
Here at Latina Theory, we always ask all of our special guests like you to let us know about a song that you've been listening to or that you really like.
So there is a song, and the reason I say this is they're not, actually the group is not Latino, they're Swedish, they're from Sweden, very from the 70s, 80s, the group is named ABBA, and there's a song that that I love dearly, that I listen to, it always makes me cry, because it's a song that my mom used to sing to me, and it's Chiquitita.
You got it. We love the diversity of, you know, so much on our playlist. That's a big part of our show, and I definitely can't wait. So you've heard here from the Ana Cruz, the leader of the Islam and Spanish Chicago chapter. She serves as the administrative coordinator. Thank you so much, you know, for being a part of this interview.
And gracias a ustedes. We're so grateful.
You can find more information about Diana on her Twitter handles and Instagram handles, which will be up on Audio Boom onto this link. Here we have ABBA, the special request by Diana Cruz, ABBA with Chiquitita.
Hola, mi nombre es Diana Cruz. Estoy con las mujeres de Latina Theory. I'm going to give a shout out to my family in Texas, Victoria, Eagle Pass, and Houston, to IslamInSpanish.org, all nationwide, and to my familia in Chicago, my sister Brenda, my brother Willie, my brother Josh, my sister Selena, and to my children, Annalise and Joy and Ferris. Thank you.
Un gran aplauso a ABBA y a su chiquitita.
Quisiera verte así, aunque quieras disimularlo. Si es que tan triste estás, ¿para qué quieres callarlo? Chiquitita, dímelo tú, en mi hombro. Te conocí y ahora tu ala quebrada déjame la arreglar, yo la quiero ver curada. Chiquitita, sabes muy bien que las penas.
I said the good Lord made me what I am, and I play this game for keeps. Gotta use what I have to get what I want. All the dream of God is his dream. And the good Lord made me what I am, and I play the hand I'm dealt. Says sometimes the hardest thing to be in this world is just yourself.
Best believe the Quran influenced all of my songs. My fans running tattoo them all on their arms. Wanna travel, be there every time I perform. Now look me in my eyes. lie and tell me how am I wrong. And who would have thought, just giving them the truth from my heart, both the ugly and the beautiful part. We give them food for thought, let them chew it apart, and they'd all crowd around me and my movement would start. And how you gonna hate me for being what God made me? It's not a game, I ain't saying it playfully. They relate to the joy and the pain in me, and seeing me make it be watching a slave get free. Holler like Bilal in the tower, hiya Al-Fala, Allah is the power. Give a voice to the dream and let it be seen. I admit it's obscene, but Dean recognized Dean, so it isn't pristine when I spit a 16. Clean words don't describe the that I've seen, but laying in the alley I whisper the Shahada. Bullets fly by from the drive-by, so Imam Muhammad might pound on the podium. Pop Master Faber work it out on the linoleum. Chappelle bust funnies, most deaf bust rhymes. Muhammad Ali is the greatest of all time.
I say the good Lord made me what I am, and I play this game for keeps. Gotta use what I have to get what I want. All the dream of God is his dream. And the good Lord made me what I am, and I play the hand I'm dealt. Says sometimes the hardest thing to be in this world is just yourself.
Something spiritual happen when them hands get to clapping. Can you tell me what language do you laugh in? The human reaction of smiles and cries. What language are the tears when they falling from your eyes? You've probably seen the sun rise hundreds of times, but let a painter paint it or a poet describe the very moment where heaven and earth might collide. And God let the breath of life come outside. Satan doubted it, angels bowed to it. I'm so beautifully human and I'm proud of it. Soul of a soldier, heart of a scholar, I wrote this poem with the blood of a martyr. Imam Muhammad might pound on the podium. Pop Master Faber work it out on the linoleum. Chappelle bust funnies, most deaf bust rhymes. And Muhammad Ali is the greatest of all time.
I say the good Lord made me what I am, and I play this game for keeps. Gotta use what I have to get what I want. All the dream of God is his dream. And the good Lord made me what I am, and I play the hand I'm dealt. Says sometimes the hardest thing to be in this world is just yourself. I say the good Lord made me what I am, and I play this game for keeps. Gotta use what I have to get what I want. All the dream of God is his dream. And the good Lord made me what I am.